Finding life a bit complex? Confusing? Aware that your old strategies aren't working? Why not ask Pam and Marilyn? This is the Irreverent Therapists, and we're here to add some clarity, humor, and a bit of what might be considered blasphemy to your day.
And a very big, huge welcome. I'm Marilyn Bradford of the Irreverent Therapists, and I'm joined with my colleague, Pam Odling. Hi, Pam.
Hello, Marilyn, and hello, everybody.
Here we are on the Irreverent Therapists again, and we are feeling very irreverent these days. So that ought to really help the show, I think. So our show today is, are you really effed up or just uninformed? Have you ever felt that you were inherently wrong, that you were a disappointment to your family or others? Have you found the rules, mores, morals, expectations, policies, and practices that you are supposed to embrace somewhere between strange and absurd? What if everything is the opposite of what it appears to be? What if you're not actually wrong, but just misinformed? Join us for a discussion of what is that turns everything upside down. So I don't know about you, Pam, but when I was a kid, I couldn't make heads or tails of anything.
I always felt like an alien. Like, who are these people and what are they doing?
And what I know. And maybe the actual reality is we are aliens, but that's probably a different show.
That's a different show.
But I mean, I remember actually standing in a field, and they were talking about cows. Somehow we were around cows. Maybe it was Texas. I don't remember. But I'm like, brown and white cows and black cows and all brown cows. And I'm like, so how come there aren't like purple and green cows with eight legs? And they were like, they looked at me like I was an alien. But you know, one of the things that made me feel really strange as a kid was that everybody took what appeared to be in physical reality as that was all there was, and those were the only possibilities.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, growing up, I talk about, you know, my family and my extended family as there was the doers and there was the beers. And, you know, the doers were always like,
that's a scotch, Pam. I think you're never mind. I'm just tracing the alcoholic roots of your family.
Anyway, but the, you know, like some of my family were all about the things you're doing, and some of us were much more about like the energy of things and being like, you know, I can remember I wanted to just go sit under a tree. Mm-hmm. And be there. I didn't have to be doing something all the time. And so I had a whole branch of my family, some cousins, where, you know, many of them were like me, people who perceived energy and who, you know, like there's like the whole world that we were engaged in that the doing people in my family had like just thought we were nuts and had no clue what it was we were talking about or aware of.
But how cool for you to have other people in your family that were like that.
Well, yeah. And I mean, it was my aunt and cousins, and I think I would have gone crazy or thought I was crazy if I hadn't had them, because there was no one in my immediate world, like my everyday life, who perceived the things I perceived.
Right.
And so when we'd go see my cousins, you know, then it was like, I don't know how to describe it, but just like coming into this cocooned place where I could just be me and,
wow,
cool. You know, kind of get the, not feel like I am totally crazy and the only one in the world who can see this stuff.
Well, I think one of the things that I was aware of as a kid was that there were all these different realities, although it took me a long time to extricate myself from my family's reality. But that was an academic reality, my father being a field geologist. What you could see, what you could measure was what was true. But also things like the only things that really matter are education and research and science.
Yeah.
And so then you kind of try to fit into that. And then I remember this little Catholic friend of mine who told me that I was going to hell because I wasn't Catholic and didn't believe in Jesus. You know, and then I had some Jewish friends, and it seemed like everybody had a different truth.
Right.
And I didn't have a truth. I was just looking at all these truths going, basically, some variation of, well, why can't cows be purple and green and have eight legs? But what I took from all of that was how absolutely crazy that I was the one who was really crazy.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, when we came up with this topic, you know, the piece of this that really jumps out for me is when our way of being in the world doesn't match up with what the people around us think is how we should be in the world, what we do is make ourselves wrong and feel like we're fucked up.
Yes.
I was
working You can't say that word. Stop it.
Oh, sorry, ohm times. I was working with a client earlier today, and, you know, she had been to an event and had a very, you know, I don't want to say negative experience, but she came away from it feeling very disempowered, and kind of having all her childhood stuff stirred up. And, you know, when we talked, I asked her a few questions, and it was like what she was aware of was the class and the way it was led was disempowering. It was not someone who was doing things in an empowering way. She was aware of that and went to she's wrong.
Yeah.
Rather than having the awareness of, oh, I perceive stuff going on here that really doesn't work for me. And as soon as we asked some questions and she had that awareness, then she was able to totally come out of feeling wrong and feeling bad about herself and feeling like she's messed up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
well, maybe we should talk a little bit. I mean, I think that's a really good lead in to what happens to us, because we've talked about the experiences, but most people, most families, most cultures don't have an interest in empowering people to be who they are. Nobody ever said to me, hey, Marilyn, maybe there could be cows that have eight legs and are purple and green. What do you know? It was all about that's stupid. That's not our reality.
That's not the way the world is.
That's not the way the world is. And the interesting thing is later when I was in things like religion and metaphysics, it's like, well, if you don't clean out your second chakra, you're just screwed for life. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was the same kind of thing. If you don't buy hook, long, and sinker, there's a way to say that. Hook, line, and sinker. Our reality and our steps and our truth, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's what gets people feeling so absolutely crazy. But that's so cool that you gave your client that awareness. This was not empowering.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, like there's, you know, like have you ever been in a great mood and you get together with someone and you just start feeling worse and worse and worse about yourself? Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, and then you can go into judgment of yourself of like, I should, you know, I haven't seen this person in a long time. I should be feeling good. What's wrong with me? Blah, 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 blah. Right. Well, if you actually stop and ask yourself some questions, because what happens is when you ask a question, it creates awareness. So rather than trying to figure out what's wrong with you and why am I feeling this way or what's wrong with them, right?
What's wrong with them, right?
Right, no, which is where we tend to go is something's wrong here. And so I'm looking around for what it is. When you go into question and start asking, well, what is this and what am I aware of right now? You know, you might be aware of something about the person you're with, something from their life, anyway, that you're picking up on has nothing to do with you. And as soon as you acknowledge that, you feel fine again.
Yes, you can feel fine again as long as you, I don't know how to say it exactly, but you... Well, you trust yourself to know what you know. You know that it's okay to disagree. And I think that's where a lot of people get really messed up, is that they don't know that these realities that people have are actually really arbitrary. There's no truth about them.
Yeah. And like, how do I want to put this? It's that it's the willingness to acknowledge what is that to me unlocks us. So if we're, you know, whatever it is that's going on, if you're trying to figure out, well, what does this mean? And this person acted this way. And, you know, so now what do I need to do? Like all that kind of stuff.
Second guessing. Wow.
It's second guessing and it's not real. And when you let yourself just ask some questions, and it's not that you're necessarily going to have, oh, my friend Mary is blah, 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 you know, is feeling blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not like you're going to get all these words of something going on, but it's like, I mean, Marilyn, let's just try it. So if I say, you know, what is this? What can we do with it? Can it change? If so, how do I change it? I mean, I don't know about everybody listening, but for me, those questions just open up a space where I have more ease. And it just allows me to be more aware. And that awareness isn't necessarily words and concrete ideas. It's just a space. And in that space, I'm much less likely to go to the wrongness of me.
Well, it takes you out of having to believe that their reality is true and actually losing yourself in their reality, which is what a lot of us tend to do. And we're gonna take a short break here, but when we come back, we're gonna talk more about how you're not really crazy and effed up. You just don't have accurate information about what's possible.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news. Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on OM Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey, and welcome back. I'm Marilyn Bradford, and I'm joined with Pam Hodling, the Irreverent Therapists. And we are talking about, you may not be as effed up as you think you are. You're just misinformed. And I think one of the ways that I was misinformed or just didn't have the accurate information was that I didn't have to choose one of the realities that was being offered to me.
Yeah.
There were all these other realities. And one of the – there were a couple of real gifts of my childhood. One of them was that I grew up in the Unitarian Church. So in Sunday school, instead of studying doctrine, we studied all the world's different religions. So I knew, well, the Buddhists have this. They have this reality. And the – you know, the Jews have this reality and the Hindus have this. So that was very helpful. And traveling was very helpful because I got to see that there were other realities. But there was still this enormous pressure from my family, and they weren't doing it to be mean. They were doing it just because this is what they believed in. This was kind of their religion or their reality, mm-hmm. you know, to be a teacher, to be academic, to shun business. Money wasn't exactly evil. It was just kind of, I don't know, like crude.
Low priority,
right? Exactly.
That's me.
Yeah. So what did I do? I became a teacher. And it was actually not a bad fit. I actually liked a fit. But in the end, I couldn't buy that all there was that what we could see and measure, as my dad, the scientist, said. And, you know, I went into psychotherapy and all of that. And I remember asking my mother once, because they thought I was insane. And they thought, you know, when I got sober and all of that, we've talked about that, but they thought that was crazy. But I remember asking my mother if she'd ever considered going to therapy. And she said, well, I don't think I want to look inside. I might not like what I find. That's a totally different reality.
Well, when you're talking about different realities, I love the story of you, you know, you showed up to roommate with someone at a class and, you know, share a hotel room. And you were like, let's go out, get outside and take a walk. And they were like, all I have with me is high heels.
Right.
And it's like,
it's like, what?
Because your reality includes getting outside and walking and seeing things and, you know, and for her traveling, that wasn't a priority.
It wasn't. She had three pairs of high heels and five sexy dresses. Yeah, you know, and fortunately, that was far enough along that I didn't have to judge it. But it was such a reminder that everybody has these realities and none of them are true for anyone but them. But most people try to make their realities true for their family members, their friends, for everybody else. Yeah. I was just working with a client whose mother's addicted to the Bible, basically. You know, so if it's in the Bible, it's true. If it's not in the Bible, it's false. And if you don't align with that, then you're bad and wrong and you're going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of kids grow up with this stuff. This client was telling me about, this is kind of Southern Baptist stuff, but telling me about, you know, the images as a young boy that he was going to burn perpetually in hell. I was like, wow.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, what this makes me think of is there's so many things, and I'm going to talk about United States because that's the country, you know, I grew up in, but in our culture that is about uniformity.
Yes.
You know, if you're in a classroom and you're too active or you're too inquisitive, my son had one teacher one year who got mad at them for asking questions.
Wow.
And there was question time and you could only ask a question during that time.
Wow.
You know, 'cause she wanted her classroom to run very smoothly and very with everyone fitting in to exactly how she wanted things to run. And if you didn't fit that, you were wrong and, you know, you were bad and you were going to get a bad grade and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, that's just one example. But, you know, I feel like there is always this pressure to conform and kind of go along with the whatever situation you're in, what the group is. And so, you know, when you start seeing things your own way and from your own perspective and creating your own reality, it's like you are wrong in the world, in the view of the world.
Yeah.
It's very easy to take that on and feel for yourself like you're wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not quite sure why I'm bringing this up now, but it kind of fits that they've done those psychological studies where it looked like 30 people were in a room and they were all, you know, being tested in this study. But actually, everyone in the room but one person was a shill. In other words, they were all in on it. And they would show these lines. And you had to choose the shortest line. And all of the other 29 people would choose a line that wasn't the shortest line. And the pressure on the person who was actually the one being experimented upon was so great that the majority of the time they wouldn't go against the group and they wouldn't choose what they knew to be true.
Right. So they're perceiving, they're looking at the lines. They can see
that one is shorter.
One is shorter, but they won't say that. I'm gonna make some suppositions here. They doubt themselves.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What they know and feel like they must be wrong and go with the group.
And that's, I mean, when I first read that, I was like, wow, but that's essentially what a lot of us are taught.
Yeah.
You know, and pressured to do. And I'm not making anyone wrong here. What I would really like to do is get everyone to see that if you've known you've always been different, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. So. That it's great to be different, and that what we have tended to do most of our lives is judge ourselves for it.
Yes. Because as you said, people like that, oh my gosh, that teacher, it makes me want to throttle.
I
mean, really, can we just is lynching still in? I don't know. Well, no. I shouldn't joke like that. But honestly, you know, the people who actually are the ones who actually destroy the students, the kids who have a different way of looking at things.
Yeah.
And a different way of being. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure there's some like long-term sociological evolutionary thing about, you know, having the majority, you know, go a certain way that, you know, helps things, you know, helps group survive or something. But man, for the individual, it totally sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not for being, you know,
yeah.
You're talking about, it is not for being, it is for doing in an sort of an automaton way.
Right. Because if you look at some of the greatest creators in, you know, people like Leonardo da Vinci and Einstein, and, you know, they were all different. They did not go along with
right.
the group.
Right. And one of the ones that comes to mind that I was thinking about the other day is Nelson Mandela. I was flying somewhere and I watched that, you know, the movie about him, and I just cried through the whole thing because he was willing to have a completely different vision. And one of the scenes that struck me the most was when the people of color, the blacks, wanted, the majority of them wanted the soccer team, which was all white, to be completely thrown out. And Nelson Mandela, aware of what was going to create more, and aware of what, and I am making some suppositions here, but that tended to be what the...
I like them though, yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, and aware of what was actually going to create inclusion, and aware of not duplicating what the whites had done, said, no, we're going to have that team and we're all going to support them. And they, you know, there was some integration in it. But it was so contrary to what everybody, black and white, believed.
Yeah.
That, you know, he was just such a absolutely stunning, amazing, beautiful example of a being willing to know what was true for him and willing to be different and willing to step beyond the realities of both black and white and what everybody else wanted.
Right.
And that, I mean, that just really moved me and was such a beautiful example.
Well, and I mean, what I think of with that is two things. And, you know, one is creating something greater, not just trying to fix or change a little bit.
Yes.
What's there. And also just to really highlight what you said of, I mean, he was willing to acknowledge what is.
Yeah.
And be aware of what's possible and choose what's going to create something greater.
Yeah.
Really all of stunning. Which you can do when you're not judging yourself for being different.
Right.
And so when you're judging yourself, it's all not available.
Yeah, actually. Judgment, that's very true, Pam. And I think we should sort of say a little bit more about that. As long as you're judging yourself, you cannot actually be you and you cannot actually know what's true for you. Because what you're doing is you're in aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting to the reality that's being presented to you. So it's okay. So there's that judging yourself and being wrong. And the counter one to that, or that's not the correct term. The other one that people tend to go to is being the rebel, which is actually the same coin, different side. And that also doesn't create, because as long as you're in resistance and reaction to somebody else's reality, you can't actually know what's true for you and create for you. All you can do is be against them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what that whole Nelson Mandela thing showed me in a way that I'd never seen so just absolutely beautifully portrayed. Was that you actually have to move beyond aligning and agreeing with the reality or resisting and reacting to the reality. I am having difficulty articulating.
It's one of those days.
Yeah, and we're about to go to another break. And when we come back, we will talk more about, are you really effed up or just uninformed? Here we go.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Vibe Nation Radio is brought to you by Carrie Turcotte and Dean Thomas. Each week, we bring a refreshing outlook to lifting the veils of illusion that occur in our daily lives. We will share our own learnings and personal experience that allow others to understand who they truly are.
At the end of each show, Carrie will be tapping into the listeners' energies just to give an idea of what to expect for the week ahead. So join us each Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and together, we will discover the inner keys that will unlock the true you.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
And And we're back with the Irreverent Therapist, Marilyn Bradford, and joining me is Pam Hodling, and we're talking about maybe you're not really effed up. Maybe you're just misinformed. And one of the things I want to look at is what happens to us as kids, or what we create, you know, we can go with that too, early on in our families that leads to us having patterns of behavior or choices for behavior that we think are true and real, but actually are just our parents' view of how life should be. And I was recently working with someone, and they were, I said, so what's going on here? Because they had an addiction, a major addiction to alcohol. And I was like, well, what actually happens before you decide you really need to go drink a lot? And she was talking about how she was a people pleaser. And every time she went into people pleasing, she felt so horrible, she would go and drink a lot. But she was taught in her family that the only way to be in the world, the correct way, the right way, the Christian way, and it could be any religion, was to help others and please others and put yourself down and diminish yourself. So at a time when she really, say, needed to do something for herself, for her business, for her life, for her partner, and someone came in and they needed something and they were even kind of demeaning to her, she would essentially kowtow to them and people please.
Yeah.
And beginning to get her out of this habit was just huge. But that's something that she was taught was the right thing to do and the right way to be in the world from very early on. And I think these are the kinds of things that hang people up more than they even realize. It's so unconscious. They learn it so early, and it's so sort of automatic by the time that they're older.
Well, I mean, you know what it makes me think of, Marilyn? It's like if you buy the point of view or the reality, you know, given how we've been talking about things today, that there is this certain way you have to be.
Right.
To be right, to be good, to be whatever.
Oh, right and wrong, yes.
Yeah, then you have to constantly be judging yourself based on that bar.
Yes.
And everything is either, yes, you're achieving it and doing it right, or no, you're not, and you're wrong, and you're terrible. But all of that is just, I don't know how to put it, but
it's a point of view.
It's just a point of view. It's just, you know, maybe it's your parents' point of view of how you're supposed to be, or maybe it's, you know, the work environment. I mean, we pick up these cues from all over the place. But as soon as you buy it as real, that there is a way that you're supposed to be, or that you have to be, or anything, rather than having the choice of how you'd like to create yourself in your life, it's like, Marilyn, the way I think of it, it's like if you think about a rat maze, right?
Yes.
You're caught in the rat maze and you're trying to go down this corridor and this way and this way, but the whole, you know, no matter which way you go, you're stuck in a maze.
Yes.
And when you come out of the point of view and out of the judgment of there's this right way to be, you can see the maze and go, wow, that's a pretty limited maze, you know. There's a whole world out here. I'd rather, you know, choose something different.
But that's a huge concept for people, Pam, that there is no right way to be.
Yeah.
It's not that their reality is right or wrong, or your reality is right or wrong. What if there truly is no right way to be? It's just a matter of how you choose to be in the world and how you choose to create your reality.
Yeah.
And getting out of right and wrong is huge, is absolutely huge, I think, for people getting away from this idea that they're messed up, that there's something wrong with them. So, you know, I've had clients say, well, how do you choose then? What do you – and what I always say is I ask a question. Will this action or will this person or whatever create more expansion in my life or more contraction? And that's what I go with often.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I do the same thing. I mean, part of it, I was thinking about it during the little commercial break. You know, if you get the sense of, if you've ever been like out in the woods or out in nature, just somewhere where all the shoulds and all the responsibility, like all of that just dropped away. Uh-huh. And there was just you and the earth and, you know, just this sense of expansion and possibility and joy and stuff like that. You know, what I find is anything that's not that,
yes,
I know.
Yes, that's cool.
Some sort of judgment or point of view,
yeah,
or something. I'm stuck in the rat maze. And I'll use, you know, one of the access tools that is basically what Marilyn and I talk about every week is all these tools. You know, I use one of those tools to change that, because what I've come to know is anytime I'm not being that space, I'm being less than me.
You're being less than you. Yeah. And that's, I love that example. That's really, that's, or tool. That's really cool, because, you know, part of why I moved to New Mexico is it's so easy to be me with the land the way it is.
Wow. Yeah. You know,
and the fewer people, mean fewer realities that are crowding
exactly.
in there, you know, and I'm not disappearing into a cave. Yeah. It's simply really pleasant, very pleasant to be here.
Yeah.
One of the questions that comes up, I know, with a lot of clients is, okay, I'm kind of getting this, but what do I do with my family?
I'm like, can't you just stick them in a pit somewhere?
Well, and my question
irreverent,
is always,
we're the irreverent therapist.
Right. What do you want to do with them? Because that does differ. I mean, some people are happy to break with them completely. Some people want a little contact. Some people are like, well, you know, we've always been really close. I don't want to lose that. And the thing that I always say to people is, no matter what, don't diminish you. And that doesn't mean that you have to fight for the rightness of your point of view. You know, if they're all voting for Donald Trump and you're like, hello, you don't have to argue with them about the insanity of it all. Now, that is a point of view on my part.
Can I jump in here with something?
Oh, please jump in.
I'm going to lose the thought. But that having your reality doesn't mean you have to fight against everybody else's
yes,
reality.
Yes, exactly. That was what I was going to
make. Yeah, that's – I heard you say that. I just want to like really highlight it.
Oh, I know. There are a few things here that we really need to highlight for everybody. You know, like there is no right or wrong reality, and having your reality does not mean you need to fight against anybody else's reality. And you never need to make yourself wrong. And judgment is a total block to awareness and being you. So we've got some real goodies going on here. Mm-hmm. But you can be around your family simply by asking, okay, so what do they require? And what is it within that that I can do that it does not diminish me?
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they require a few phone calls. Maybe they require being told that you care about them. Or I love this line that Gary has given to Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, has given to people, which is, you know, if you're having difficulty with a parent, just say, you know, mom or dad, I'm so grateful for you. Everything that I am today, I owe to you.
Yeah. And now say, tell people why that works so well.
Because what can they say? They can't fight it either way. You know, it puts them in a position where they actually cannot come back at you.
Basically, that if they judge you for who you are and what you're doing, they're responsible, because everything I am, I owe to you.
Exactly.
It's because of you.
It's
Thank
because
you.
Of you. I am who I am. Anyway, I just thought that was so wonderful. Another concept I wanted to bring up is this idea of the language of addiction and abuse. And it goes to talking about what I was talking about earlier of the family, which is that, you know, most of us speak English in America because that's what our families speak, or maybe you speak Spanish because that's what your family spoke. But there's another language, an energetic language, and a language of behavior that's actually taught in families. So, for instance, if you're looking at the language of addiction and abuse, it tends to be things like you're never actually present, you don't deal with issues, you don't express your feelings, You don't confront one another. You don't say what's true for you. And whether that shows up as an addiction to the Bible or whether the son or daughter then later becomes addicted to heroin, it's the same thing. And it's one of those things that keeps people feeling like they're totally messed up because they didn't get the skills as a child to know how to be present. You know, some of these are just skills that we have to get later in life. How to actually manage what's going on with them, what awareness is, how to actually have some relationship skills. So I don't know. Does that make sense to you, Pam?
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, can you say more?
Well,
because it's like when you talk about the language of addiction, so you're talking about there's certain, you know, patterns, ways of doing things that tend to show up in a family where addiction is present.
Okay, so let me give an example. And
yeah.
I may need to cut it short and then go to our last segment. But in my family, my mother was one of two daughters, and she and her sister each had two daughters. There's no sense or no history or apparency of alcohol abuse or what people call alcoholism in the family with either my mother or my aunt. Yet of the four daughters, three became alcoholics and one became a raging codependent. Now, why was that? Because energetically, the qualities of addiction don't deal with things, don't ask questions, don't actually question the reality that you're in, don't express who you are, don't be too different. All of those qualities, you know, actually find a way to escape and avoid what's going on.
Okay.
All of those qualities, and I'm looking at the time here. I don't want to go any farther, but we can talk about that more when we come back from our break. Yay!
Yay!
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Are you ready to shift your energy, consciousness, and limiting beliefs? Join me, Shefali Burns, every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Shifting with Shefali here on OM Times Radio. Shift the blocks, limitations, and negative energies that have kept you from experiencing a life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Are you ready to shift with Shefali? Are you ready to shine your brilliance?
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Marilyn Bradford of the Irreverent Therapist and joined by Pam Hodling, and we're talking about, are you really effed up or just uninformed? And I was going into a bit about the language of addiction and abuse and how it is a behavioral and energetic language that you can pick up as a child, and then it will show, all addiction actually has the same root causes. So if your family doesn't appear to have addictions, they may be, excuse me, addicted to the Bible or workaholism or being right or being less than, it can still show up in the kids as addiction to alcohol and drugs. Now, does that make any sense?
It does. It does make sense to me. Yes.
Okay. So that's just one way I wanted to bring up, because we learn from our family, not just how to speak, but and not just what to believe in, but actually how to relate to the world. Every reality has within it how the behavioral elements, how you react in this situation and how you react in that situation. And, you know, it's not okay to be different, and it's this and it's that. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, as some of the things that can keep someone from actually feeling, or act, not forget feeling, from, never mind, from having a sense that they can actually be themselves. Because the more these things you have piled up upon you, the more difficult it is, unless you have someone giving you a little bit of information, to know that you can actually be you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and just to give you a plug for Marilyn here, she is the creator of Right Recovery for You, and she's got a book, Right Recovery for You, and classes and things like that. So she's talking about the language of addiction. If that is something that starts to, you know, pop up in your universe as you'd like to know more about it, check out her stuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yay. How does it get better than that? Okay, so we have just a few minutes. Well, no, we have about 10 minutes left. Anything else coming up for you, Pam, on just the sense of what information tools can we give to people to assist them in knowing that they're not actually crazy and insane? Mm-hmm. They just have always known that they were different and that what was going on was insane, but they judged themselves as somehow being wrong for all of that.
Right. Well, you know, because the thing is, we've been talking about how we do tend to, when we're different, when we're not fitting with the reality of the people around us, we tend to go into judgment of ourselves and think we're wrong and messed up. So, you know, I thought, let's just, and everything we've been talking about is some ways of changing that. But I thought, let's just take a few minutes to really, you know, what are some of the tools we use when we're going to the wrongness of us? So, you know, for me, a big one is, who does this belong to?
I was just, that was my top one too. Yes, exactly.
And, you know, in case you haven't been listening to some of our shows, because we do talk about who does this belong to quite a bit, you know, it's basically, if you've ever, like, been in a great mood and you walk into your house or your office and suddenly you're like, wah! And it's like you're picking up on the stress, the tension, the anger, the whatever that's going on already there. It's like, you know, or if you're a parent, you know, there's times you know your kid needs you before they ever, you even hear the cry. So that's what we're talking about. All of these, like the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions that everyone around you is having, those are all an energy, and you're a being of energy, and you pick up on those. But we don't usually, you know, think of it as, I'm picking up on someone else's stuff. It's like, right. Oh, what's wrong with me?
Right, exactly.
So the way you use the tool is just to ask, who does this belong to? And if you feel at all lighter, then at least part of it isn't yours.
And you can also ask, is this mine? I find that's more – because what I notice with people when I first give them that tool is that sometimes they really feel like they have to figure out who it belongs to.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was working with someone and he was like – and then I'm asking, is it this person's? Is it this person's?
Right, exactly. Like,
that's not the point.
Right.
It's not about trying to find out whose it is, you know, because we're talking about things like points of view. It might be a point of view that, you know, your great grandmother had and passed on to each kid. So it doesn't matter whose it is. It's about, you can spend a whole lot of time trying to change how you feel. And if it's not yours, you're just picking it up from someone. It's not going to do any good. As soon as you acknowledge, oh, at least some of this might not be mine, then it lightens up. And so, Marilyn, I do what you do. What I do is I ask, who does this belong to? Is it mine or someone else's? Because that mine or someone else's, I'm usually able to perceive easier. And I'm looking for which one of those makes me feel lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's really good. That's a tool I use a lot. And for instance, if you're with your family, you start feeling like, crapola.
Whoever feels like crapola
around the family. Who does this belong to? And you can also ask, are a lot of things being projected onto me?
Yeah.
Because that can make a huge difference. If it's being projected onto you that you're not doing it right, you should be kinder to your mother, you should be helping your dad, you should be saving your sister who's going down the tubes, you're going to just feel like, ah! So once you figure out that things are being projected onto you, you can go return to sender with consciousness attached a billion times, a billion times, a billion times, a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, online, shorts, boys, and beyond. So I think that's really a very helpful tool too.
Well, and then I love using the access clearing statement, which is, it sounds like gibberish. It's a few words. What it is it's energetically going to the point where you first took on a point of view or a judgment or a conclusion. And so it doesn't matter where it came from. It's basically, you know, somebody described it as like this cosmic vacuum cleaner.
I love it.
Crap up and getting rid of it. But however you want to think about it, what it does is it helps you actually clear energetically where you've been holding on to points of view.
Yeah.
So, you know, say you're, say you're having dinner with someone and you started out doing good and all of a sudden you find you're like, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm doing and I'm never any good at this kind of conversation and blah, blah, you know, whatever it is. We all have our own little, you know, messages we like to run in our heads about our judgments of ourselves. So whatever that is, you just say, okay, so everywhere I decided I'm not good enough, or, you know, everywhere I decided I'm no good at, like, whatever the thoughts are, you just, everything that is, destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, good and bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. I use the clearing statement all the time.
Yes, it is like anywhere, anytime, anything, any issue, use the clearing statement. Everything that is, right, wrong, good, bad, back, but all nine shorts, boys and beyond.
And what's awesome about it is you don't have to know, like sometimes you might have the words like, oh, I'm judging that I'm too fat. So you can clear everywhere you judged yourself as too fat. Sometimes you don't have words like that.
Yeah.
And you can just go, everything this is, or anything that does allow this to change, or, you know, just something general like that, and use the statement works really well too.
It's wonderful. And one of the things that this isn't exactly a tool, but one thing I would like to say as we're coming towards the close is being different is phenomenal. You're awesome. Don't doubt yourself. Doubt is what we call a distractor implant. We don't really have time to get into that right now. But there's no reason to ever doubt or believe that because you're aware that the realities out there are crazy and you don't want to buy into any of them does not mean in any way there's anything wrong with you. In fact, quite the opposite. It's an indication that you're aware and you're quite more brilliant than most people out there because – you know, the bottom line is a lot of people are sheep.
Yep.
They really are. And if you're listening to us and if you're at all interested in change, you're not a sheep.
Oh, and I just want to point out, because we are talking about judgment and awareness, is, you know, what people tend to do is think that there's something like, oh, you're beautiful isn't a judgment.
Right.
And, oh, you're ugly is a judgment.
Yeah.
And actually, both of those are judgments.
Yes, they are. They're not awarenesses. Awareness is having no point of view.
Yeah.
Just noting what is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can really get into that space, you don't ever have to be caught up again in that you're bad and wrong because you're not buying into anybody else's reality.
Yeah.
And we have about a minute left. So I just want to talk about next week's show, which is aging required? What have you decided about aging? I just turned 30, so I should expect more wrinkles soon, huh? I'm over 40, so it's downhill from here. As I get older, I can't expect as much out of myself or my body. Have you programmed your body with everything you've been told to expect about getting older? What if you have far more control over how aging shows up than you've been led to believe? Join us for tips and tools to gain more control of this so-called aging process. And this has been kind of a big deal for me, Pam. I mean, because I'm up there in the 60s, and what I'm aware of is so much of aging is a choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what I really want to leave people with. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Cool. So anyway, thank you all so much for joining us today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.